nutshell, back in the 20s and 30s, Winnie McDonald, Budge Lee, John Wallace, Jack Willoughby, Ruth Rowe, all these people's voices can be heard in this little book. And I'm hoping that the voices on paper can actually transcend the paper and go into our minds. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bernard. I agree. And, you know, Doug walked on foot through this country and got to know the forests, and like Bernard said, to feel that when you're reading the book and also walking in the area. Okay, so I'd like to introduce Robin Anear, local author and historian, who was part of the original team who created this book, Vagabond. Just a brief, by way of brief introduction to Robin, she's an author of 10 books of history, including Bear Brass, Imagining Early Melbourne, winner of Victorian Premier's Literary Award in 1995, and still in print. As a curator, Robin has explored aspects of Melbourne's history in exhibitions at the City Gallery, Melbourne, Town Hall, most recently 2024, Gotcha, Concrete Prints from the McEwen's Celebratory Pavement. She is a contributor to The Monthly. On TV, Robin has appeared in Victoria Wood's BBC series Victoria's Empire, in Tony Robinson Explores Australia, and in The Crown and Us. She also featured in Gus Berger's acclaimed 2022 documentary, The Lost City of Melbourne. In 2018, Robin launched a podcast, Nothing on TV, which ransacks trove newspapers for stories from a time when there was literally nothing on TV. So I'm pleased to hand it over to Robin, who will launch today's book. Thank you.
So this was the original. You may still have it on your shelves. And of course, this is the new revivified version with Charlie Sanger looking even more handsome on the cover in profile, as well as in full face. Really interesting to be reminded about my podcast and about my love of Trove newspapers. And this is something that Doug Ralph and I shared. I remember when Doug discovered the availability of the Trove historical newspapers online, and you know that was his evening's gone, I guess you could say, at least his evening's. Doug just took to it like a duck to water, and he opened up stories like the story of Charlie Sanger to him in ways that hadn't been possible before. I got to know Doug, and I got to know the bush around him largely through Doug. David, my partner, who was at that time doing an amazing survey of all the historical goldfields of Victoria. We based ourselves here in 1989, and one of the first people we were introduced to was Doug Ruff, who was just the connector with people, as you said, Bern, people who are no longer with us and who were just remnants of a time that seems like, you know, like the 19th century. They had lingering connections with that time and the people who lived there. So Doug, of course, knew the bush like nobody else. Given that Charlie Sanger was gone, Doug was the next best thing. But no, for having walked every inch of Box Island Mark Forest around here and knowing what was there. So he was our introduction to this place. And, you know, we were, what a privilege to have known Doug and to have learned from him. The title of this book, sorry, I'll show you this one, the title of this book, Vagabond. Of course, Vagabond didn't just mean he was like a gypsy rascal or something from a song. Vagabond was had a very particular meaning in his times, and certainly throughout the 19th century. It was a class of vagrant under the vagrancy laws. So you could be, for the merest infraction of the law, you could be an idle and disorderly person, the next class. And this was what got him in trouble, because he supposedly resisted arrest. That was one of the things that could put you in the class, the next takes class of a vagrant, being a rogue and a vagabond. And if you did even worse, you'd be classed as an incorrigible rogue and would be charged and sentenced accordingly. I'm not going to go too much into Charlie's story, except to say, rereading it again, I recognised him in a way I hadn't before, and I realised that he is what was known and is still known in a distinctive bit of Australian slang as a hatter. And we might think of hatter, we might think of the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, and the idea that a hatter was slang for an insane person, and that that origin supposedly went back to the mercury that was used to create cats and could send their makers mad. But it actually seemed as if in its use in Australia, there was certainly a connection with the idea of being eccentric. The word eccentric applied to Charles Singer quite a bit in this book. But it had to do with being a loner, with choosing to be a loner and put yourself apart from society. And it was, apart from being a swagman, which came on the scene later, I mean, the word hatter seems to me, in my flimsy research, to have been to have come into being on the Bendigo goldfield around about 1855. That possibly came from through the Scots dialect, having a meaning there. I can't remember what the meaning was, but rather than this sort of hat maker association. So this idea of hatter was used and applied to solitary miners from 1855 onwards, and he so fits the bill of someone who, for whatever reason, choice or circumstance, ended up living his whole adult life, or most of it, when he wasn't in prison in particular, alone in the bush and mining, and these things went together. So the idea of a hatter was, it preceded, as I say, the swagman. And little poems written about hatters, they were into Australian literature, and it's still a distinctly Australian bit of slang. So I think of Charlie in that way, because it does fit
his intricities as well as his solitary way of life. I remember when this story first came to the surface through Doug's interest, and you could see Doug and Charlie as kindred spirits, very much. Why Doug took the story initially in the way he did. And
anybody who knows Doug and his photos inside this book can't help also but see him in the appearance even of Charles, the charming twinkling eye, the beard, and the imposing presence, the standing on the rock and declaiming. I can well picture that. It's a terrific story of a time, and more particularly for us, of a place. I commend the story to you, and I commend its authors, and Bronwyn also, who, as you say, Bernard, brings these into being, these books, and makes them look terrific, and makes sure people know about them. It's great to see this story living on, and what can I say? Consider it launched, and please do seek it out and get hold of the copy. It's a very cosy evening's read at this time of year in front of the fire, and it takes you to a place and time that that feels familiar and yet not. You'll enjoy Charles Singer's company, so get hold of the bag.